Well, most of you know that my two areas that I oversee are worship and prayer across the community. And every part of me as the worship pastor really wanted to spend the whole 20 to 25 minutes that I've got talking about verse 16, which is an encouragement to admonish one another with psalms and spiritual songs and hymns and all of those things and sing together. And unfortunately for me, but maybe fortunately for you, that's not where God has led me as I've sat with this passage. Because what I want us to reflect on today is the extraordinary impact that the knowledge of Christ's resurrection and the fact that we as his people have been raised with him into a new life and the impact that should have on the way that we live and the way that we interact with one another. Because that, to me, is the all-encompassing theme of this passage. Oh, and really kind of most of the New Testament. Because ultimately, as someone who gets the privilege of standing up here occasionally, but more regularly, I can say a lot of things. And as preachers, we can share a lot of bits and pieces of beautiful information about scripture and the context of the passage with you. But if your understanding and knowledge of the word of God doesn't change your behavior or your approach to life, then in all honesty, it's probably not as deep or helpful as we might think it is on the surface. Because we are saved in the death and resurrection of Christ. But our mission as his followers should to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God. And if we say that we are followers of Jesus, or if we are followers of Jesus, but we still look the same as those around us who don't follow him, then are we truly living transformed lives in him? And I don't say this to call any one of us out, but to challenge us all on the way that we live our lives. And helpfully, this passage gives us some helpful hints on what that might look like in seeking to change our behaviours towards one another. For faith cannot be fueled by knowledge and understanding alone. It also needs action and relationship. And so let me take us back through the passage and make a number of points, and then we'll reflect and pray on how we can let the words of this letter and the truth of our being raised with Christ help us to be shaped to be more like him. All right, Jen, we are up. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since then, so if you've been here previously, then we've been through the first two chapters of Colossians. I'm not going to do too much of a summary because I don't have a huge amount of time. But basically, the summary of that is you have been raised with Christ. So set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If you meditate on nothing else that is said this morning, meditate on that verse, because it is a beautiful summary of what it is to live in Christ Jesus. Now, as we go through this, you'll notice that actually there's a lot of active verbs as we walk through it, because there are a lot of things that what Paul has got to the point now in Colossians where he's encouraging them. All right, so the shape of Paul's letters often takes that kind of shape. He's like, all right, here's a like quick or really, really long sort of summary of the gospel, depending on the letter. We might now deal with a couple of things that are going wrong, which we're kind of in the middle of as well. And here's some encouragements for you. And so he is seeking to help them think about what are the things that are going wrong in their midst, but also where are the places where they need to be shaped. So For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I can't be the only one that's now singing a hymn in the back of their head. When Christ, who is your life, appears, Christ, who is your life, right? So he's trying to just pinpoint that in them. That actually, now that you are in Christ Jesus, he is your life, and you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Verse 5. But we need to put to death a few things. We need to think about the things that we have been doing that are wrong. And the structure of this paragraph, as I've sat with it, is quite interesting to me, because you'll note that I've kind of broken it up into two here. The first couple of verses, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then he says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So I think what Paul is implying here is that these are the things that are the actions, the part of what it is to really be found in the new creation, to be found in the kingdom of God, that the people in Colossae have kind of set aside already. They've set aside the sexual immorality and the impurity and the lust, and that the things that we would consider the obvious sins, right? The things that we know and that are obvious. But now you must also. You've stepped in. And now it's time to just think about it and step a bit deeper. You must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. All power to you, Mark, because if you think that it's really easy to live the good life and have no anger, then please tell me your secrets. Not to call you out, sorry. This is hard. These are hard things. Now, there is righteous anger, right? Like Jesus shows that when he turns some tables in the temple. There is an element, there is righteous anger, right? Generally associated with places that... But I don't know about you, but my Facebook feed over the last few weeks has been full of pictures of the Olympic opening ceremony and comments and anger and rage and malice and slander about the heart of the people who put it together. France is a very secular country, right? So it's an easy target. But French people are weirdly artistic. And I'm not going to go, we don't need to talk about whether it's right or wrong. But the response that I have seen from many Christians is not a very good way of representing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it's really easy for us to think that the things that we are saying, the words that we are using, the actions that we are doing are being done for a good reason. But friends, let me help you think about this from the context of how someone who doesn't know Jesus might see it. Because our lives are to reflect the image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. And so as we think about the things that we feel like we want to say, the actions that we may want to do, We want to think about them in the context of this next paragraph. Because as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those things are also really hard, especially when you have a 2-year-old who's constantly trying to kill herself. Not quite two, but. And when we sit in a space where it feels like the way that the world sees Christians is moving more and more into a negative space. But the Christian faith has always thrived in places of persecution when we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we clothe ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And so for each of us in this moment, as we stand here, as we explore this passage, I want us to consider our lives. And what are the actions that you might be living out in your life that aren't necessarily clothing you in God's goodness? It's very easy to think that when we say some things, when we act in some ways, that we're doing it in love. We want to call out that action because actually it's loving for me to call out whatever it is that that person has done. And yes, it is. Maybe. But it's also loving to do it in an appropriate way. And so we need to consider as we act, as we speak, as we share our minds with one another, is what we are seeking to say bringing unity or disunity? Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And if the things that you do or say seem to actually be breeding disunity, then it's good to consider whether they are actually actions being done in love. Because it's really easy for us to think that what we're doing is being done in love and the issues that we're raising are being raised in love. But if they're not bringing us together, they may be still doing it, being done in love, but that might not be the right way to go about it. And so bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Also, really hard. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. And teach and encourage one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's a sermon for another day from me. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To come back to you, Mark. You're right. All of those actions are things that we know are about living a good life for God. But they can also be really hard to live out. And the good news is, is that it's not just our willpower that is required to live them out. Because the Spirit is at work in each and every one of us. If we declare Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in us and is working through us to help shape us to be more like God. Jesus. We come to know about more about what it is to live our lives like Jesus through our knowledge and our understanding, and we become more like him as we spend time with him and prayer and relationship. It's really handy. God kind of led me in a direction to talk about prayer. That's the other part of what I do. Because we become like Jesus when we get on our knees and pray. We become like Jesus when we commit to living a life of prayer and relationship with God. Because we cannot fully comprehend, fully understand the ways that God is leading us and shaping us unless we have a relationship with him, and that we find in the scriptures and in prayer. We cannot put to death these things on our own. But we do it aided by the Spirit in every moment of every day. Week and a half ago, a few of us from our staff team went to a prayer seminar. Adam mentioned it last week. And one of the things that they were talking about at this seminar was what does it look like to pray all day? Like, what would it look like to live your life in a way that you prayed all day? And my immediate response was, I'm the mother of a toddler. I have no option but to pray all day. I don't have time to have like a spare prayer time during the day. That's the only way I can live my life and be in ministry. But the amount of people, and that's a thing God's been shaping me in, let's be real. That's a journey I've been on since pre-being a mother, that God has been working in me by his Spirit. But I was sitting in a room full of Christian leaders, and the amount of people who had very strong morning prayer lives and then kind of like, oh yeah, no, I find it hard to include God in prayer in the rest of my time, was actually shocking to me as someone for whom having a constant conversation with God has become the norm over the last few years. But I want to challenge each of us on that. What does it look like to pray all day? What does it look like to include God in everything that we do? To go into a meeting and before we walk into that work meeting, to shoot up a prayer. To hear from someone on the back desk that actually the two people who are singing this morning don't really feel like they're in the right vibe and walk up to them and just say, Jesus be with them as they sing. To consider the ways that we can encourage one another in that space. Because our transformed living in Christ comes through a life of prayer. Our transformed living in Christ isn't just about us. It's also about how we, as a community, the people that God has called to be St. Hilary's in this season, encourage, build one another up, pray for one another, pray for his kingdom, pray for the world around us, how we gather and do that together. And how we do that guided by the Holy Spirit. And so where I want to land this, because we are running out of time, is that as we walk this term, thinking deeper about what it is to be disciples of Jesus. I really want to encourage us to think not just about the practices that is shaping in us. They are all good things. You should all come to my seminar at the conference next week where I'll be talking about practicing the way, which shapes up all of the practices that we're adding to our discipleship strategy. You should do that. But you should also think about how it is shaping you as a person and shaping us as a community. There is a verse somewhere in the New Testament, because it's just come to my mind and I cannot for the life of me remember where it is, that talks about how when one of us does something, because we are all in the Spirit and we all have the Spirit within us, the actions of one person affect all of us. I'm probably completely misinterpreting this verse because I cannot remember where it is. Corinthians, maybe? That's not the point. The point is that God has called each of us who call St. Hilary's our home church to be here in this season. Talk, and the way that we interact with one another, the way that we talk to and about one another, the way that we love and forgive one another doesn't just impact one of us, it impacts all of us. And so as we live our lives, let us consider everything that we do in prayer. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? Is it kind? The words that we use towards one another matter. Again, I'm not talking about a specific person or a specific incident. This is just what God has put on my heart today. Because there has been gossip culture in this place in the past, and from my perspective, it's time for God to put that to an end. For us to love and forgive one another. But friends, most importantly, let us keep praying and seeking God as we seek to live our lives for Him, both by ourselves and in community with one another. So let me pray.